All right, good evening, everyone. We're up to the second in a series of shiurim on the siddur. The next part that you'll probably notice in your siddurs after, what did we do last time? After, what did I do last time? I did facing Yerushalayim, Ardan.
Right, that's what you did.
And what did I do before that one?
Washing.
Oh, I did Netilas Yadayim, right. Okay, so after you've washed Negel Vasser, and I'm going to be skipping, at least for now, Moda'ani and Okadim Shema and Asher Yatar. We'll get back to them. So you get to Birchalos HaTorah, right? So for those of you who've ever looked in your Siddur before Birchalos HaShachar, you see that there are two, perhaps three brachos that we say on Torah. They start off, Asher Kedishanu Mitzvotav V'tivanu La'asok B'tivrei Torah, right? That Hashem should allow us, that God commanded us to involve ourselves in the studies of Torah. Then there's a longer paragraph of V'harevna Hashem Elokeinu Sidrei Torah Secha B'finu, that God should make the words of Torah sweet to us and for our children and for our children's children. And then the last part, the third or perhaps second bracha, which is the one we recite also during Kriyas HaTorah, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim Natan Lanu Es Toraso, right? Brachat Hashem Nosein HaTorah, that God has chosen us and by choosing us commanded us to keep His Torah. Those are the three. Those are the three parts to the brachos that we say on Brachos HaTorah. After that, we say the three psukim of Birkas Kohanim, Yivrach Hashem V'Yishmerecha. And then we say a Mishnah from Peah, which describes those mitzvos which are all-encompassing and also ones which have a major reward in the world to come. Right? Peah, Bikurim, Barion, etc., etc., etc. That is the part of the Siddur that we're focusing on. The question is, why are we saying that blessing every day? So we go through our primary source. I said, if you want the primary sources for tefillah, it's almost always going to be the Gemara and Brachos. Gemara and Brachos, Handaf, Chaf, Aleph, Amud, Aleph, 21a. So the Gemara is talking about, of all things, Birkas Hamazon, right? The requirement to betch. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Minayin, LeBirkas Hamazon, Achara min HaTorah. How do I know that one is required to make a blessing of benching after one has eaten bread from the Torah? Shenemar be'achalta v'savata uvirachta. It says, and you shall eat, and you shall become full, and then you shall bless. So then the Gemara says, minayin lebirchas haTorah lefaneh min haTorah. How do I know that one has to make a blessing on the Torah beforehand from the Torah? Shenemar, because it says in Ha'azinu, kishem Hashem akra, havu godel le'lokeinu. Right, when I call out to God, there is greatness for my Lord. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lamanu Birchat HaTorah La'acharea, Min Birchos HaMazon B'Kav HaChomer, Birchas HaMazon L'Faneha Min Birchas HaTorah B'Kav HaChomer. Right, so the Gemara is going to try to say, well, can't we learn that you're required to make a bracha after you learn from Birchas HaMazon, right, from benching, when do we say it? After we eat. Birchas HaTorah, when do we say it? Before we learn. So what are we going to try to learn? From Birchas HaTorah, the blessings on the Torah, I'm going to try to learn that I'm required to bless before I eat. And from benching, I'm going to try to learn, which comes after I eat, I'm going to try to learn that I have to make a bracha after I learn Torah. So the Gemara attempts to make this type of limud. It rejects it in the end. Okay? But if we take this Gemara at face value, it would seem to indicate that just like benching is a biblical requirement, so too making a blessing on the learning of Torah would itself be a biblical requirement. This is an oddity. Why is it an oddity? A bit of an oddity because in general, blessings are rabbinic, right? We all know the famous rule that exists, Safek Brachot Lahakel. When you have a doubt, some sort of confusion as to whether you recited a blessing or not, or as to whether you should recite a blessing or not, the rule is, lahakel, we take the more lenient position. Why is that? Because blessings, on the whole, are rabbinic. The one certain exception to this is benching, right? Benching, we have a clear verse in the Torah that tells me that I'm required to bless God after I eat. V'achalta, right, I shall eat. V'savata, I shall become full. U'veirachta, and then you will break, then you will bless. That is a clear statement. You can't get clearer than that. Here the Gemara brings a kind of poetic statement, Kishem Hashem Ekra Havugodel Elokeinu, one which on the surface is not talking about the learning of Torah, but it could be talking about any number of things. And the Gemara interprets that to be speaking about, according to Rabbi Yochanan at least, the requirement of Birchos HaTorah, the requirement to recite a blessing before one learns Torah. So at face value, the assumption would be that the blessing on the Torah is a biblical commandment. So if it's a biblical commandment, we would assume that it would be counted amongst the 613. So the first place we would go to find out if it's counted or not is the work of Maimonides. Maimonides, we know, the Rambam wrote a book called the Sefer HaMitzvot. He wrote it originally in Arabic. It's been since translated into Hebrew and into English. And it has been glossed over numerous times. So the Rambam's work, we start looking through there, you can see he counts many, many mitzvot. He does not count the blessing on the Torah. That being said, when he describes the mitzvah to learn Torah, he says that one should make a blessing over it. So interestingly enough, after the Rambam's big book of mitzvot, the 613 mitzvot, the Ramban, Nachmanides, wrote a commentary on it. What's his commentary called? His commentary is called Mitzvos Sheshachach HaRambam, right? Very creative name he came up for it, right? What is it called? The Mitzvos that the Rambam forgot. Okay, that is it. The implication seems to be that the Ramban might have thought that there were more than 613 mitzvos. That is possible. It's only one Talmudic text which implies that there are only 613 mitzvos. So it's very possible that there are more. In fact, I mean, considering what we know, that it can't be that every time two people have an argument about whether something is biblical or rabbinic, that they have the very same argument but mirror image of it by something else. It's almost impossible that that is true. So we can assume that for good or for bad, there are probably more than 613 mitzvos, although, you know, if it helps you sleep at night, there are less than 613 that apply today. Okay, even if we count all of the Ramban's mitzvot as well. So amongst the mitzvot that the Ramban counts as ones that the Rambam forgot, is the mitzvah of Birchos HaTorah. The Ramban says that it is a commandment to bless and thank God for the Torah. Okay? What's his proof that you can have such a thing? Because what would our argument be? Why would you need, there's already a mitzvah to learn Torah, right? So the Rambam, Maimonides, would argue with Maimonides, if there's a mitzvah to learn Torah, why do I need a separate blessing, or why do I need to command a separate blessing? Blessings come along with it. So the Ramban says, I have an example. What's an example? Coming up on the holiday of Shavuos, right? We're coming up on that holiday. On the holiday of Shavuos, we're going to recall a mitzvah that was performed in the time of the Beit HaMikdash called Bikurim. What was Bikurim? That is where I would take the first flowers of the fruit on my trees. I would put them in a basket, bring them up to the temple in the basket, and give them over to the Kohen, where he would wave them before the temple, and then they would be eaten in Yerushalayim. It's a very beautiful practice. It had a lot of pomp and circumstance associated with it. It was a really wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Along with the requirement to bring bikurim, there is a mitzvah of what we call mikra bikurim. Right? There are verses that need to be recited with the bringing of bikurim. We all know those verses because those verses become the skeleton for our Haggadah. That's a whole other shiur in and of itself. But the recitation of verses is counted as one mitzvah, and the bringing of bikurim is counted as another mitzvah. So the Ramban says it's the same thing here. The blessing over the Torah is one mitzvah, and the blessing over the learning of Torah itself is an entirely different mitzvah. Okay, that is the Ramban's claim. Comes along the great defender of Maimonides' Sefer HaMitzvot, and he called himself the Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther, so he defends the Rambam's decisions not to put things in.
And so he says that, listen, Birchas HaTorah is a classic Birchas HaMitzvah, right? It's a blessing on a mitzvah. And we don't call a blessing on a mitzvah its own mitzvah. And therefore, from his perspective, the Rambam is taking the position that Birchas HaTorah, that the blessing over the Torah, is only of rabbinic requirement. It's only a rabbinic requirement. That is the Megillas Esther's opinion. There are some other opinions. The Aruch HaShulchan deals with this issue. The Aruch HaShulchan, so he says that he quotes one opinion who, I forget the name for a second. Let me see if I have the it open here. I think I do. So the Aruch HaShulchan quotes, sorry, a second. The Aruch HaShulchan quotes the Mishkanos Yaakov, who says, interestingly, I think very fascinating perspective, his opinion is that it depends. You'll notice that when else do we recite Birchas HaTorah? We recite Birchas HaTorah right before and after we read the Torah publicly, right? During the recitation on Shabbos, right? We say Baruch Hu Et Hashem Avorach, and then we say the bracha of Birchas HaTorah. So he says, maybe, that there really is a mitzvah to recite Birchas HaTorah, but only on the public learning of Torah. But on the private learning of Torah, he says, it's only a rabbinic responsibility. And that's how he claims to understand the Rambam, according to the Mishnah Yaakov. The Aruch HaShulchan thinks clearly the Rambam himself holds that the recitation of the blessing is a biblical responsibility. But it is a biblical responsibility that isn't its own mitzvah, because it is a subcategory of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And he says the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not only that one should be knowledgeable. What is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is that through Talmud Torah one should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how does one serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Through Talmud Torah. Part of it is the blessing. So we don't count the blessing as its own separate mitzvah. The blessing therefore becomes subsumed or consumed under the commandment to learn Torah. Why is it important for us to know whether the bracha of Birchas HaTorah is de'oraisa or de'rabanan? That's because of the rule of safek de'rabanan mahakel, safek de'oraisa l'chumra. Right? What do we say? We said that if you have a safek, if you have a doubt as to whether you recited a regular bracha, a normative bracha, what's the rule? Safek brachos l'hakel. Brachos are a classic rabbinic responsibility, and the rule with rabbinic responsibilities is we always take the more lenient opinion. So if I can't remember whether I said a shahakol on my milk or not before I drank it, so what's the rule? The rule is you don't go back, right? You assume you said the bracha. If I'm not sure what blessing to recite on something, I take the most lenient opinion. That's the rule when it comes to rabbinic responsibility. But if Birchas HaTorah is a biblical responsibility, right, if it's something that comes from the Torah, so all of a sudden I have to take the more stringent. And therefore, what would happen if it comes to, you know, the morning and I can't remember whether I recited the brachos on the Torah or not, so what should I do? I would have to recite it again. So says the Shagas Aryeh, Rav Aryeh Leib Ginsberg, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes this halacha, that is true. If you have doubt as to whether you recited brachos on the Torah or not, then what should you do? You should re-recite the bracha of Birchos HaTorah. That's what the Shagas Aryeh said. Okay, so that's kind of issue number one. Issue number one is, are these blessings a biblical or rabbinic responsibility? And it seems to be that even though there's some debate about the Rambam, a number of the other sources seem to support the notion that it is a biblical responsibility. Finally, what is the content? Or secondly, I should say, what is the content of this blessing? So the content of this blessing is another Gemara in Brachos. Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, asks, "My Mevarech, what blessing should you make?" So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, says Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, "Asher kedishanu mitzvosa b'tzivanu lasok b'divrei Torah." Now, what bracha do you make? You make the bracha of who has commanded us, who has sanctified us and commanded us to involve ourselves in the words of Torah. Rabbi Yochanan comes along. Rabbi Yochanan Nisayim Bahachi, he would complete it as follows: Harevno Hashem Elokeinu Sivrei Torah Secha Befinu.
What would he add? He would add the second part about making the words of Torah sweet in our mouth. Rav Hamnuna would add even a third part to the bracha. Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim nasalanu es Torah so, bracha Hashem nosein ha-Torah. Right, that's what Rav Hamnuna would add, the one that we know, that we say at the end, before we read the Torah, right, when we get an aliyah, and it's also the third of the tripart bracha that we say in the every morning, that he chose us from all other nations and gave us his Torah, and we bless God for giving us the Torah. And says Rav Hamnuna, Zohi me'ulasha b'bracha, t'chof l'mrin makulu. He says, listen, this is the greatest of all the brachos, so let's say all of them, right? No arguments here. No, we're all agreeing. So let's just say all of them. Okay? So the question is, what does that mean, let's just say all of them? Does he mean, let's say all of them, and therefore there are three different brachos? Or does he mean, let's say all of them, and therefore there are two different brachos? Why? Because notice the words Rav Yochanan uses after Rav Yehuda says, you say, Asher Kedushan Mitzvotav Yitzvan Al-Sok V'Devarei Torah. Rav Yochanan says, Misayim Ba. You conclude it this way. Right? So we know that there are different types of brachos. There's the standard, what we call a bracha ketzara, which is a short bracha, which has just one baruch in it. Then there are bracha aruka. Right? There are longer brachos, which have intros, potentially a second baruch, like those. So is v'ha'arev na part B of bracha 1, or is it part 2 of a three bracha set? It could be either one of those, okay? And it all depends on, if you looked in your siddur, so do you say ha'arev na or v'ha'arev na, right? Vav is the vav ha'chibor, right? The vav of connection, right? So do you say v'ha'arevna or do you say ha'arevna? So I believe the classic Ashkenazic sitter says v'ha'arevna, assuming that they are one bracha. And a lot of that has to do because there's a little bit of confusion in the Shulchan Aruch. If we go to the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Mem Zayin Se'iv Vav, so it says, in the Shulchan Aruch, there's Rav Yosef Karo, right, the posik for the Svaradim, saying, Omer v'ha'arev im vav. You say v'ha'arev with a vav, which means that la'asok b'divrei Torah is not its own bracha, but it is the intro to v'ha'arev, now the second bracha. Comes along the Ramah, and he says, v'yesh omrim below vav. Right? Some people say you say it without a vav, meaning it would be two separate brachot. V'chei nahagu. And that's the practice. And who is he quoting when he says that's the practice? He's quoting the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah and the Rashba as well. But continues the Ravmar of Moshe Isserlish, and he says, Aval yoser tov lo mar b'vav. He says, but it's better to say it with a vav. So how does it end up in the Arskol Siddur? In the Arskol Siddur, it ends up with the vav. Okay, so how do we treat it? So remember, once it's already a biblical bracha, or at least potentially a biblical bracha, we have to take the most stringent opinion. Therefore, you all notice, in Shavuos, in the morning is the best time, because most of the time, you say the bracha for yourself. Right? So Shavuos morning, when you're going to have someone else make the bracha for you, so what are you going to say? Asher kedishan mitzvosav v'tzivanu, la'asok b'divrei Torah. You are not going to say amen there. Why? Because, yes, potentially that's its own bracha, but also, potentially, it's part of the bracha that follows behind it, of v'harevna. So you won't say amen until hamel amei Torah l'mo Yisrael, and we will treat it as if it's one long bracha, even though there's a bit of debate as to whether it's one bracha or two brachos. Interestingly enough, though, everyone agrees basically about the content of the bracha, just a question of how many brachos are you reciting here, is it two or is it three? Okay, so we are stringent to treat it as if it's two, and also stringent to treat it as if it's three, if any time that would have potentially come up. The next question that we have to deal with, and this is the third question I'm going to deal with tonight, is what is the nature of this bracha? What does that mean, it's the nature of the bracha? A bracha is a bracha, right? We say brachos all the time. Well, not all brachos are the same. We say brachos for different reasons. If one were to see a rainbow, or one were to see lightning or thunder, or you know the Yam Hagadol, you know the great sea, or he was able to see a place where a miracle happened to the Jewish people, you would say a bracha on that. The Gemara in Brachos quotes brachos about that. What type of bracha is that? So that is what we call either a Birchas Hoda or a Birchas Hasheva. Right? There are blessings that we recite because in order to praise God, they're blessings of praise. Right? That's what we say. Shehachianu. Right? A classic blessing of praise. Then you have also Birchos Hananin. What are Birchos Hananin? Birchos Hananin are blessings that one would recite before or after getting benefit from something in the universe. Right? So before one benefits from an apple, you would say, Borei Periyaitz, right? After one has had a nice full meal or a sandwich or something like that, you would thank Hashem for your benefit by saying, Birchas Hamazon. That would be Birchos Hanehenin. And then, finally, there's also what we call Birchos HaMitzvah. Birchos HaMitzvah are what? Are blessings that one recites on the performance of a mitzvah. How are you able to tell when something's a Birchas HaMitzvah? It usually, in fact, almost always, has the words Asher Kedishanu v'mitzvasa v'tzivanu al or le, and fill in your mitzvah al netilas ulav, right? Let's call a shofar, whatever it is. Okay, that is the classical form of a birchas hamitzvah, blessing on a mitzvah. What type of bracha is the blessing on the Torah? So on the one hand, you would say, oh, it's a birchas hamitzvah. Why? What do we say? Asher kedishanu v'mitzvosa v'tzivanu lasok b'divrei Torah. There it is. Asher kedishanu v'mitzvosa v'tzivanu. There is your birchas hamitzvah. What's the problem with that? Then we go on. Ba'rev na'ashem lokinu v'divrei Torah tachem b'vinu v'yam chayzer, etc., etc., etc. So here we have all this other stuff going on there, which would seem to imply that what? That it is not a birchas hamitzvah, but is a birchas hashavach, right? It's some sort of praise to Hashem that one would be required to say. Okay? So we said, I think it was two times ago, that you can often, the Rambam, because of his organization, Maimonides, because of the way he organized things, you can often infer his opinion about something from where he places it. Right? Where does he place the halacha? Right, so we discussed it when it came to Netilas Yadayim. Did he put it in Hilchos Tefillah? Did he put it in Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara? Where did he put it? And we said also that you can only infer something from the Rambam if you know there's a better place for him to have put it. Right? If there's no better place for him to have put it, so then you can't say, well, you know, clearly he thinks. You know, X, Y, or Z is this because he put it into those. You can't infer things from that unless you have a better place for the Rambam to put it. So let's start thinking. Where would we find the laws of the bracha that one recites on the lulav? In the laws of lulav. Where would we recite the halachos of the bracha that one recites on shofar? In the laws of shofar. Where would we think that if it was a birchas hamitzvah, where would we think that the Rambam would put the laws of the blessings over the Torah? In Hilchos Talmud Torah. That would be the most sensible place for him to put it. In the laws of learning Torah. Comes along the Rambam, and where does he put it? In the laws of Tefillah. So what can we say here? We can infer from this Rambam, from the placement of the Rambam, that the fact that he put it in the laws of prayer and not in the laws of Talmud Torah, that what does the Rambam hold? Or at least the Rambam holds it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah, or potentially not a Birchas HaMitzvah. What does the Rambam say? So we get to the seventh perek of the laws of prayer, the halachos yod and yod aleph, and he says the Rambam, Hamashkim likro batorah, kodem sheyikra kriya shema, one who gets up to learn Torah before he recites Shema, bein kara batorah shebechzav, whether he's reading a written law, Bein kara b'tara shabal peh, whether he's reading oral law, no tel yadav techila, first he washes his hands, umevarech shlosh barachos, he makes three blessings, ve'achar kach kore, and then he reads from the Torah. And what are the three blessings he recites?
V'eilu hein asher k'deshanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu al divrei Torah. V'arev na Hashem Elokeinu et divrei Torotecha b'finu b'fiyot amcha kol beit Yisrael. V'ine anachnu tzetzeinu v'tzetzei amcha Yisrael. Amcha yodei shemecha b'oskei Torotecha b'ruch atah Hashem melamei Torah l'mo Yisrael. And then the third bracha, b'ruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech olam. Shabbat Habana Mikolamim Natalanu Torato, Brochat Hashem, Notain HaTorah.
Those are the three brachos that are recited. Okay, then comes along the Rambam and he says, V'chol Yom Chayav Adam Levarich Shalosh Brachot Elo. V'acharkach Korei Merat Divrei Torah.
A person should read these three brachos and then read a little bit of Torah.
V'anu'agu Ha'am Likro Birkas Kohanim. He says, there's practice to read Birkas Kohanim, so you read three psukim right after you learn.
V'yesh Mekomo Shekorin Salvis B'nei Yisrael.
Right, some people read Salvitz B'nai Yisrael, the Korban Tamid, the
Yesh Makomo Shekorin Shtein, the Korin Prakim Halchot Min Mishnah Braito.
So some people add Mishnah and Braita also to this equation.
Okay, that is the Rambam's opinion.
Again, it seems like he requires, so why does it matter whether it's the Birchas Hodah or Birchas HaMitzvah?
So it matters a lot, and Tosfos is going to point this out, because listen, if it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, what's generally the rule? The rule is, for Birchas HaMitzvah, they have to be over la'asiyasa. I have to recite a bracha on a mitzvah right before I perform the mitzvah, right? What do? We turn the esrog upside down, right? So I can make the bracha, and then, you know, right away, I turn the esrog right side up, and I can do the mitzvah. So one would think, if Birchas HaTorah was a Birchas HaMitzvah, was a blessing on the mitzvah, what would I have to do? I would have to sit down and do daf yomi, you know, right then and there, right after I said the Brachas HaTorah, right? So the Rambam seems to be putting it here in the context of Tefillah. He says, no, again, people have the practice of learning a little Torah afterwards. Okay, but it seems like the Rambam is okay, and he's going to call it, what we said here, a Birchas Hodah. Okay, that is the opinion, that seems to be the opinion of the Rambam.
Comes along Tosfos, and Tosfos on the Gemara and Dafid Aleph, Amud Beis, in Brachos, where it talks about the content of the bracha, so Tosfos starts to wonder aloud. Because Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Aleph says the following statement. It says that if you realize somewhere in after davening that you forgot to recite Birchas HaTorah, what should you do? So the Gemara says, don't worry about it, because you're Yotzei with Ahava Rabba. You're Yotzei with the blessing that you recite right before you recite Shema. Why? Because it basically says the same thing, right? You fulfill the mitzvah. It basically says the same way. What's Ava Rava about? Ava Rava Tan Rosha, right? What do we say? Lil Mo Lami, Lishmar Asas, Kaimakol Dharasar Asakabi Avava, right? We say all these things, thanking God for the Torah. So that is plenty. So Tosfos points out that the Yerushalmi quotes that halacha as well, but when the Yerushalmi quotes that halacha, the Yerushalmi adds that one should learn following, if you forgot to read Birchas HaTorah, one should make sure to learn after davening. What does that mean, one should make sure to learn after davening? Could that be because they're worried about the issue of over la'asiyasa? So if it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, you have to worry about doing the mitzvah right after you recite the mitzvah. If it's a Birchas HaHadah, you know, not so much. So Tosfos, and this is an important Tosfos, so Tosfos says as follows. Shekvar niftar be'ava rabba, ad hilchos nimrimnu l'kuvu. Fine. So bar Yushalmi, Tosfos says, in Yushalmi yesh hadi amina shekvar niftar be'ava rabba. V'hu sheshana alatar. Right? So the Yushalmi says that you can be yotzei with be'ava rabba as long as you learn alatar, like right after davening you sit down and learn afterwards. Perish l'altar shalama miyad be'oso makom. Right? That what happens? That right then and there, before you leave shul, you sit down and you learn a couple of mishnayos. So this way you're sure that you learned right after you made Birchas HaTorah. So that's what Tosfos says in the name of the Yerushalmi. V'nishal Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak was asked, "Gon anu?" He says, "What about us? We balei Tosfos. We're from a yidden. We're from people, but we also have jobs. So." Right? So what would they do? They would go to work all morning. When it started to get dark, late in the night, they would come back to the base medrash and they would learn. So what about us? He says, Kigon anu, she'in anu lomdim miyav achar tfilas ha-shachar, she'anu trudin v'hochin kach belon limud ad emtza yom or yoser. Right? So he says, what about us, shlubs? Right? What do? We daven, but we're in a rush. We got to get to work, you know, in the vineyards or whatever they're working there in France in those days. Right? We gotta get out to work very, very quickly. So we're truden. We're all full-blunged in the morning. We're rushing out the doors. So amai einanu mevarchim birchas haTorah par macheret kishanu matzchilim lilmod. So he says, listen, we never learned after birchas haTorah in the morning, and we schlepped out the door right away, you know, right after davening. So he says, what are we supposed to do when we come back in the afternoon to sit down and learn again? What should we have to do? We should have to make the bracha again, says Tosfos. Why? Because if the Yerushalmi is correct that I have to learn right afterwards, and I didn't learn right afterwards, so the entire assumption of this question is what? That this is a birchas mitzvah. Right? I can't make a bracha on lulav and then take it in the afternoon. I make a bracha on lulav in the morning, make it in the afternoon. It doesn't work like that. I would have to make another bracha. The Heishiv reads, so Rabbeinu Yitzchak answers, the lo kaimalan ke oser Yerushalmi. Right? He says, we don't hold like the Yerushalmi. Right? That's why. We hold like the Bavli. The Bavli just says, you're yotei ba'av rabba, you don't have to learn afterwards. So therefore, there's no requirement to learn afterwards. You don't have to learn right away afterwards. That's only the Yerushalmi. The Bavli clearly holds this one. One could potentially understand that according to the Yerushalmi has its understanding the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah. The Yerushalmi's understanding the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah as what? As a Birchas HaMitzvah. Right? It's a bracha that you recite on a mitzvah. Therefore, you have to learn right away afterwards. On the other hand, the Bavli that says that doesn't seem to require you to learn right after you make the bracha, or even if you're using Ava Rabba, it doesn't require you to learn right afterwards. So the Bavli says, fine, you can get away. It's not a birchas mitzvah; it's a birchas mitzvah. It's a general praise of Hashem for giving us the Torah. Okay, but and even more so, nafilu fi Yerushalmi, even according to Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi only says that dafka b'ahava rabba, the lo avi ikar bracha b'rachas haTorah, the ikar avi rabba l'kriyas shemanika nitkan. Uvishvil hi eino niftar mi'brachas haTorah, ela im yilmod miyad v'gam lo yaseh hezeh hadas. So he says the other explanation he can give is as follows. Ahava rabba, why do we say that bracha, ahava rabba? We say that bracha for Shema. That's a special bracha for Shema. It has nothing to do with the Torah. And we're trying to get that bracha to do double duty. Right? We want it to be a bracha for Shema, and we also want it to be a birchas haTorah. So if I want to squeeze more out of that bracha, what do I got to do? I got to learn afterwards to show everyone that bracha means more. But birchas haTorah, which I said at the beginning of the day, that bracha has the potential to go on forever and ever. About Birchos Asher Bachar Banmi Ubracha Lasok B'Divrei Torah, our classic Birchos HaTorah, Shein Ikar LeBirchos HaTorah T'Potores Es Kol Hayom, that makes me pater, that makes me exempt the entire day. Okay, so that is Tosot, and you see there's the tension. Is it a Birchos HaMitzvah or is it a Birchos HaAdah? Because if it's a Birchos HaMitzvah, I'd have to learn right away afterwards. If it's a Birchos HaAdah, I wouldn't necessarily be required to. Tosfos adds, and again, this is the tension coming out again. It says, what about sukkah? V'in tomer ma'ishnami sukkah, I eat breakfast, I make a leishiv basukkah. I eat lunch, I make a leishiv basukkah. I eat supper, I make a leishiv basukkah. So why not, every time I sit down, I learn, you know, Mishnah Yomis in the morning, I make a lasok with the very Torah. I learn Daf Yomi in the afternoon, I learn lasok with the very Torah. I reach nine mikra at night, I should say lasok with the very Torah. Why don't I have to say it all the time? So Maishnami Sukha should start with Varicha Kol Suda Vasuda Leishay Vasukha. So why aren't I required to every time I sit down to learn, why aren't I required to make the bracha every time? Because if it's a classical Birchos HaMitzvah, there's no reason I shouldn't have to do that. So says Tosfos, the Yesh Loimar, Tosfos says, the Shani Torah. Torah is different. Why is Torah different? She'enu Miyash Dato, the Chosha, the Mechuyav Lilmod. Says that Torah is different. Every second of your day is Torah. You're learning Torah, you go here, you're learning Torah, you go there, you're learning Torah everywhere. Right? Every second of the day you're required to learn Torah. Right? It's like you're sitting in the sukkah the whole day. You're not always eating. You're sitting in the sukkah all day. You're in, you know, the shade of Torah the whole day. But when it comes to sitting in the sukkah, there's a very, very specific time. Okay, so that is that. So then, comes along Dargos Maimonios, and he says, wait a minute. Can I go to the bathroom? Go to the bathroom, Forish Gemara, I'm not allowed to learn Torah. I should say Asher Yatzar, and what should I have to do? I should have to make Birchas HaTorah again, right? Because I wasn't allowed to learn Torah. I left the sukkah, right? I left the sukkah. When I went to the bathroom, I left the sukkah. So he says, that's what Rabbeinu Simcha says. Rabbeinu Simcha says, right, that I have to make a bracha every time, a Birchas HaTorah again, every time I go to the bathroom or every time I take a nap. Right? Because during those times, I can't learn Torah. That is the opinion. So comes along, how do we paskin on that one? So everyone seems to reject that. So comes along the Shulchan Aruch in Mem Zayin Yud Aleph, says the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch says, you go to the bathroom, in Hifsik Milil Momin Askav, you stop learning Torah, right? You learned your Daf Yomi in the morning and then you went off to work and you did everything you had to do. Kevan Shadato Lachzor Lilmod, since everyone knows, every Jew, right, his entire life is merely just a commercial between his Torah learning, right? Everyone knows that that's how Jews work, right? So therefore, lo havei hefsek, we don't consider that a stop. V'huadin l'sheino merchas v'vesa kisei d'lo havei hefsek. Says the same is true of sleeping and going to the bathroom, that we don't consider those a hefsek because those are merely commercials in your lifelong quest for Torah knowledge. Okay, that's what it comes. However, he says in Yud Aleph, Shnas keva bayom, when you take a nap during the day, amitaso havei hefsek. So that is what? That's considered a break. The yeshom rum delo havei hefsek. Some people say it's not a break. Well, I'll tell you why. Why is there a debate? Whether it's a break or it's not a break. So if you say it's a birchos ha'odah, it's a blessing of praise, so you praised Hashem for the day, so you're done. You took a nap also, but you already did your praise. If it's a birchas ha-mitzvah, so you had a hefsek in the performance of your mitzvah, you have to make the bracha again. Right? V'chei na'agu, right, we hold, like, the second opinion that it's not a hefsek. The only time we say it is a hefsek, the Mishnah Berurah points out, is when it's like a sheinas keva, like a real, like, you're sleeping like a gezunta sleep. Right? So how do we define a gezunta sleep? So the Gemara deals with all these things. If you look, Sefer Isha Yisrael quotes Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he says that what do you have to do? If it's the type of sleep, he says, where you would change into pajamas in the middle of the day, so this is, you may have to make another Birchas HaTorah. But if it's not that type of sleep, so not as big of a deal. So, alright, so now what?
A dremel,
right. If you close your eyes, you know, you sit on your favorite chair with a newspaper, and you close your eyes, you know. So that's part of learning Torah. You know what I mean? Okay, but all right. So it says you sit down with your favorite sefer, okay, and you close your eyes. All right, fine. So it says it's going to come up. What if you're up all night, like Shavuos? You're up all night. So you're up all night. Do you have to make another bracha in the morning? So here it's kind of reversed. Right? In terms of mitzvah, there's no hefsek, there's no stopping. You were learning the whole night, right? So I don't have to make another brichas ha-mitzvah, so from that perspective, I'm not required to make another bracha of brichas ha-torah. However, from the brichas ha-todah perspective, from the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu perspective, what would I have to do? I would have to make another bracha. Because it's a new day requires a new praise of Hashem, right? So what should I do? So comes along Rabbi Akiva Eger, and he gives the following issue. He says, it's an easy way to solve the problem. So take a nap, Erev Shavuos. You take a nap, Erev Shavuos, so mimana shach, I'll get you both ways. If you say it's a birchos ha'adah, it's a bracha that you're praising Hashem, so you have to praise Hashem every day, you're going to have to make a bracha. If you say that it's a birchas ha-mitzvah, so you had your hefsek, you know, 6 hours ago when you took your nap, Erev Shavuos, and that's going to require you now to make another bracha. So either way, he says, you'd be required to make a bracha. One more issue, what about women? So women, we know, are exempt from birchos from Torah learning. Women are not required to learn Torah. Okay? So according to the rules of...
of according to the rules of brachos, so would they be permitted to recite a bracha, brachas haTorah, or not? So here there's a famous argument between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Right, women aren't required to sit in the sukkah either, but if they do sit in the sukkah, so Ashkenazic women will recite a bracha. Sephardic women will not recite a bracha, because how can you say Asher Kedushanu Mitzvosav Vitzivanu? How can you say Hashem commanded us, right, if he didn't command you? So, according to that rule, everyone should fall into line, right? So what should happen? The Mechaber, right, the Sephardic Posek, should say that women should not make Birchas HaTorah, and the Ramah should say women should make Birchas HaTorah. That's only assuming what? It's a Birchas HaMitzvah. Right, if it's a Birchas HaAdah, if it's a praise of Hashem, then everyone should agree that women should be liable, right? Women are required to praise Hashem. So comes along the Shulchan Aruch, and he says, Nashim mevarchos Birchas HaTorah. Women make the blessing of Birchas HaTorah. So this would seem to indicate that the Mechaber, Rav Yosef Karo, holds that it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah, it's not a blessing that we recite on the commandments, but it is a Birchas HaHodah. That would seem to be the implication of that Beis Yosef. One could explain Rav Yosef Karo a little bit differently, and we could say no. Women aren't exempt from Talmud Torah. Women are exempt from Talmud Torah Lishma. Right? Women are exempt from learning Torah for Torah's sake, but they're required to learn those halachos which apply to their lives. That's a requirement for them. So it is a mitzvah for them to learn Torah, just not an expansive mitzvah in the same way it is for men. So from that perspective, they are included within the requirement and the responsibilities, and therefore they would make the bracha. Okay, so you could explain that potentially either way. I think from the mass of what we've seen, I think it's clear that we seem to be leaning towards the perspective that it is a birchas ha'adah, it is a blessing of praise rather than a classical birchas ha'mitzvah. You may want to say some sort of hybrid. It's a blessing of praise with a birchas ha'mitzvah kind of sensibility associated with it. Okay, so let's just go over. Again, we started with question number one, is it a biblical or rabbinic mitzvah? We said that it probably leans towards biblical. We spoke about the content of whether it's two or three brachos. And then finally, we spoke about the nature. Is it a birchos ha-mitzvah? Is it a blessing that we recite on a commandment because of the asher k'deshan mitzvah b'tivanu? Or is it a general blessing of praise, like we would recite on lightning or on thunder or on seeing something like that? And all the things that go along with that, right? The more you view it as a bracha of praise, the less worried you'll be about hefsek, about going to the bathroom, about taking a nap, about being up all night, etc. The more you view it as a birchas ha-mitzvah, the more you would be worried about all of those things. Okay? All right, stop here. Questions?